So, Mr. Durkin, if this has been seen tonight, I want you to have copies. You can start paragraph three, Mr. Durkin.
Thank you. At paragraph 2.5 of my evidence in chief, I detail the proposed boundary adjustment application designed to facilitate improved access along Temple Road. I confirm that that boundary adjustment application is made and a decision has not been issued approving the boundary adjustment. Ms. Devlin's recommendation in her PIC that the proposed no-density residential zone sought by both the Swan and Marchmont submissions be rejected in their entirety. Ms. Devlin has now circulated rebuttal evidence where she states that many of her concerns have been addressed with evidence provided by the submitters. However, Ms. Devlin does not support low-density zoning over the entire site, their primary concerns being adverse transport and landscape funds. I note Ms. Devlin states that Mr. Glasner no longer opposes the requested low-density zoning from an infrastructural point of view. Ms. Devlin also does not raise any issue with the stability of the property from a geotechnical point of view. As a result of this, Ms. Devlin recommends low-density residential over part of the site as identified by Dr. Reed and not opposed to Ms. Thames. There is agreement between Dr. Reed and the CSBS to the boundary of the shot over gorge, ONF. I confirm the proposed low-density residential zone does not intrude into or impinge upon the agreed shot over gorge ONF. There is disagreement between Dr. Reed and Mr. SVS to the landscape classification of land between shot over gorge ONF and the recommended low-density residential zone boundary. Mr. SVS's view is this land is physically separated and isolated from the broader ONF, and the landscape character is not akin to that of the broader ONF. The CSB sees this strip thing as a remnant area of rural general zoning or rural zoning as a postman that is separated from the broader landscape. In attachment C3 to my evidence in chief, I evaluate the proposed low-density residential zone against the relevant landscape objectives and policies contained in Chapter 3 Strategic Direction, Chapter 4 Urban Development, and Chapter 6 Landscape. I agree with Ms. SB where he concludes that even if this strip of land is found to be part of the broader ONL, it must be considered to be a particularly modified part of that ONL, and one that does not particularly contribute to the overall broader ONL characteristics. Because of this, our finding that this small area of land is part of the wider ONL does not change my overall evaluation and conclusion in respect of the relevant landscape objectives and policies. In my opinion, the requested low-density residential zoning over the site is the most appropriate zoning outcome. Traffic issues. Mr. Bartlett and Mr. Carr have both considered the main off-site traffic effects of the Surmington and Ms. Banks. These include traffic effects of the one main Edith Cavell Bridge, traffic effects at the intersection of Arthur's Point Road with Abbey Road, and traffic effects at the intersection of Abbey Road and Guy's Terrace. With respect to the ECB, Mr. Carr supports Mr. Bartlett's conclusion that the ECB is operating beyond its capacity, finding that the need for an upgrade is not dependent on or triggered by any development office. I do not consider it as bad planning design development ahead of such infrastructure improvements being made, especially where they are anticipated in the near future. By way of example, Calvin Peninsula, I know you've heard of Meeland in that instance, Jack's Point, Henry Downs and Homestead Bay were all zoned for urban expansion well ahead of any plans to replace the Coles Falls Bridge. That zoning undoubtedly contributed to the need construct the new bridge ahead of what was originally planned. I also consider it's important to note that in this instance there is an alternative access direction through the Wakatipu Basin to the local shopping centres and commercial activities in Frankton that does not require crossing the ECB. With respect to traffic effects at the intersection of Aiton Road and Arthur's Point Road and Matthias Terrace, neither Mr. Bartlett nor Mr. Carr has raised any concerns regarding the efficient operation of those intersections as a result of the proposed rezoning, and I rely on the expert opinions. Overall, Mr. Bartlett's evidence concludes that development anticipated by the low-density residential zone can be accommodated within the local road network. Mr. Carr's peer review concurs with Mr. Bartlett's views that the proposed access road will be suitable to serve the extent of development contemplated in the submitted sites, and I rely on the expert opinions. Conclusion, for the reasons set out in my summary, I do not resolve from the conclusion set out in part 9 of my evidence and chair.
Can you read the paragraph 4.140? You're talking about concluding that the land is appropriate to zone for residential, having done your analysis of this activity. But remind me, did you get a chance to read Mr. Osborne's evidence in the bank on development capacity model?
I've read Mrs. Banks' evidence on development capacity, but I haven't gone to this day. I haven't read Mr. Osborne's.
Does he have any observations on from a strategic point of view, relevant justification for additional residential zoning at this point?
I did find the conclusion reached quite hard to believe. The mere fact that large parts of the district are social housing areas, to me, indicates that there isn't the capacity there to meet the current demands, let alone the demand in 2028. I actually tried to find reference to a big problem in this district, and it has been since the previous plan was notified, is large chunks of land of residential zone land an example is the Meesland at Calvin Heights, where huge tract of land that's been there since at least 1995 as residential zone, and since that time they've only recently done a 112 lot subdivision. I think that the zones are there are zone capacities in the plan, but people aren't developing them. So it does create a false conclusion in my view.
Actually, I don't think it is a false conclusion, because the explanation that was given for the gap between the extent of the zoning and what is happening in the development area is a similar explanation to that given by Mr. Osborne.
Right.
He said there's latent demand which is unmet, and you need an excessive supply, and the excessive supply of zoned land is because there's land speculation.
Yeah.
As well as land banking, I take it, from what you're adding, so I don't think you're inconsistent. Now, where does that leave out this point? The excess supply in terms of zoned land, why doesn't it work?
Well, in terms of Arthur's point, it isn't. I don't think there's an excess supply there. From my recollection, most of the low density residential zoning has been developed. The Swanland being an exception to that, and along the foot of Mount Dewar, on the northern side of that upper road, that has been developed most of the same way. And the older part of Arthur's Point is quite steep, and on paper you would probably conclude that there's development capacity there, but in reality, it's probably very hard country to develop. So, I don't think there's any excess in zoning excess in the Arthur's Point area at all.
And what do you know about the demand in Arthur's
Point? The demand is pretty much the same anywhere in the Waikato Basin. Subdivisions set out very quickly. Mr. Murphy has recently done a subdivision guess about 10 knots. I wasn't involved in it, but he showed us the on-site visitor. And that sold out very quickly, and it's almost completely built on bridges, and that's within, I guess, 18 months, 2 years. So they sell very quickly, and they develop very quickly.
Just to give you 9 months subdivision, sold out within about 9 months subdivision.
I'm just trying to get a handle on all this development activity, whether it's a physical or actual. What's going on? Okay, and on a quite different level, turning that around now. If the if the land that's currently ONL is marked by Mr. Espy was to become zoned, then assuming that the correction can be made about the ONL boundary, Mr. Chair, then it just becomes low density residential and there's no landscape classification required.
Yes,
that's the ONF area would say ONF, and
yes, that's nice.
Sometimes I forget how to point the words. Thank you.
Well, that's the evidence, Commissioners, for the rezone. I'd just like to pick up, the last couple of questions that developed the capacity, if I could just pick up on that for a minute. The council has circulated the evidence. It's evidence on dwelling, on capacity and so on, which I've read. I also appreciate that there's only one brief of evidence that challenges in any way, and that does it on a very limited scale, which is Mr. Geddes' evidence in relation to Middleton Land. And I've taken the view that in preparing for these hearings that there's largely unchallenged evidence, read through it looking for the appropriate discounts and kind of finding them. 27,000 discounted by 50% for this, that, and the other, and discounted by another 32% for this, that, and the other. And I kind of, without looking at it in detail, seemed to be a robust approach and seemed to generally apply the appropriate discounts to arrive at figures which, just on looking through it, couldn't really see a basis for challenging, even if clients declined to do so. There was the separate issue of, I'm not quite sure, land banking is used in a sometimes pejorative term, but you do have situations use as some examples, the refined one, which I just asked for leave to present briefly.
You might have to be careful about what you're saying now.
I asked my clients, a large area of land owned by a family. If I had that area of land, then I could spend the next 500 years developing it and keeping the family gainfully supportive of probably the same thing. Yeah, sometimes you have a large area of land owned by a family that has a family view of things, and that is different from large areas of land owned by developers Gertrude Sandler here has bought this land with an intention to develop it, and wants to develop it and is keen to get on with it. So you do have that issue which kind of queers the pitch. But the point I'd like to make is that if one accepts the evidence presented by the council that there is sufficient capacity under the EBS UDC for 30 years, and the council says on the basis of that evidence that the general thrust of the council's evidence is that no one can come before you and argue that land should be zoned because there was a need. Now, I wouldn't challenge that. What I do challenge is anybody trying to argue the converse, which is just because there is no need, therefore it should not be zoned. To me, they are two completely different questions. The one is valid, but I'm not aware of any case law or line of authority that when you are coming to achieve a rezoning, you necessarily have to establish need. If one takes, and I have argued this before, a long-term view of, and I know district plan theoretically is 10 years, this one's going to take about 7 to be completed, so it makes it 20 years, like the last one was.
It'll be a new statute,
I think. I have previously advanced the argument that whether it's 10, 20, 30 or 40 years, Queenstown will develop until it's full. Ignoring for the moment the national policy statement, which currently now would require Queenstown to continue developing until it is full, but 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I think, you've probably heard this story before, but I haven't repeated it. I went skiing in Zeta with my wife about 20 years ago, I stayed in a hotel and had a chat with the hotel here, and nice village you've got here, where do you buy a piece of land? He said, you're about 300 years too late. And when he said it, I thought, that will be Queenstown. It will happen. It will fill up over a period of time. And it will get to a point when the community says enough's enough. And all the fragments are full, and the mountain's protected, and we go to the best as we can. Looking at the capacity, because that could be 50 years away. But it's going to happen. And in my submission, once you look at a zone like this zone, not is there a need, that's not part of the equation. But what is the appropriate zoning for this land in the short, medium to long term? And that's to be almost a starting presumption, certainly that this round will be part of this district plan, that if you're ONL, you need a pretty good case to go into the areas that should be protected. If it isn't ONL, the scope is greater. But in a case like this piece of land here, apply all of those 13 criteria that the council has, a list of 13 criteria to be examined. I don't think any of them is need. It isn't a need issue. There is a fact that there's an undoubted shortage of smaller, more affordable lots. Arthur's Point, Murphy's Beaumont subdivision, consented 2 years ago, sold out in 5 months. Go out there, there's 6 houses being built. So, well, sections of that time coming onto the market, they've been snapped up and they've been built on. Now, that's possibly demand as opposed to need. You produce that kind of, especially at the kind of lower end, and you know, this is not Calvin Heights, this is not premium $750,000 residential site country. This is Arthur's Point, which is more standard. And the density is allowing smaller lots. And sure, the country sold out. Drysdale sold out. Mr. Murphy's subdivision sold out. So, I don't know if there's a need, but there is demand. And if you have a block of land like this, with infrastructure and everything else in place, and you sit there and say, whether it's 10, 20, 30, or 40, or 50 years, what is the appropriate use of this land? What is the best zone? And I would argue that for the reasons the urban leaders presented, the appropriate use is low density residential. And it's entirely up to the market, if zoned, whether it takes 5, 10 or 20 years or 30 years to be sold or built. If that's the appropriate zoning, the appropriate zoning should be put in place. And then the market and Queenstown's future should take care of the rest. I mean, I read a text over morning tea that Donald Trump says that North Korea doesn't stop firing missiles, they'll be hit with hell and fury like the world has never seen before. Now, you know, if that actually happened, tourism might slow down for a few years. If that happened, Queenstown might actually stop growing for 5 years. We don't know. Appropriate zoning, appropriate outcome, let the future take care of itself.
The council does have a wider duty under the NPS, the urban development capacity, to ensure adequate capacity that is feasible and realisable. I can put it to you.
Yes, and I'm accepting that the NPS requires that, and I'm saying the evidence for the council is that they have achieved that.
Yes.
That they are achieving it and have achieved it. Mm-hmm. And therefore I'm agreeing with the submission that I can't argue need. and the opinion is about saying the converse is not the case.
Got you. Thank you.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Otherwise,
thank you, Mr. Fox.
That's the case for the requesters. Submitters. Submitters.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
And we're representing the Sharp Family Trust.
Right.
And we present regarding submissions 533 from Winton Partners and from, regarding the submissions and from 661 from Land Information New Zealand. The Sharp Family Trust owns the land and building across the road from the subject site, Lot 4, DP 27200. The land in question is a long strip between the corner of Peninsula Road and the Lakeside subdivision next to the Hilton Hotel. The legal description is reserve, and just as I've stated.
You don't need to read all that.
No, I'm relieved about that. We submit that the ONL status of this land should be revoked as it is near residential land, and that the rural zoning should be retained and it be maintained as a reserve. Value added amenity status would appear to be the right zoning for this land. The reasons for this being, number one, the subject land is not suitable for subdivision as it is long and narrow and bordered by two busy roads. Number two, this area is needed as a buffer between Peninsula Hill and Frankton. It is of visual amenity to Frankton. This area is adjacent to the state highway and new bridge currently being constructed. Closeness to these utilities makes this land unfavourable for subdivision. Noise from the roads, bridge, and the Quarra Falls make it far from a peaceful site. Number four, Queenstown is subject to unprecedented growth pressures at this time. However, along with that provision of green spaces, should be considered hand in hand with opening up more areas for land subdivision. This area is not suitable for shopping, as requested by submitter 533 in its mixed zone request. Properly designated shopping areas are allowed for across the bridge in Frankton, the closest being Remarkables Park. The Hilton has a lake counter shop in its complex, and we believe some small shops have been applied for in the proposed district plan by the Mee family at Kelvin Heights. Number six, there should be a geological report done of the land directly across from the eastern side of our boundary at number 48 Peninsula Road and to the eastern boundary of the subject site. The reason for this being is that when Frank Mee applied to subdivide these sections, only two were permitted. A report done by Canterbury University showed old rock falls on the eastern side, and the council at the time disallowed the third eastern site. It could well be that the eastern side of these subject lands is not suitable for subdivision due to instability. Number seven, development of this land would constitute ribbon development, which has long been opposed in this district. Road widening may be required for Peninsula Road in future. There are at least 1,000 consented sections allowed for at Kelvin Heights, and many more applied for in the proposed district plan, as you will be well aware. The Hilton complex has insufficient parking allowed for on its land, and vehicles are parked on Peninsula Road all the time from either staff or users of this complex. Across the road, a section of high-density residential has been sought in the proposed district plan. While we have no objection to this, it stands to reason that another hotel site will go ahead here and similar parking issues to the Hilton will follow. Neil Simpson, ex-head of the Department of Conservation, planted out the area at the corner of the State Highway and Peninsula Road and native plantings over 20 years ago. Neil has continued his plantings around the corner and keeps most of the area maintained. The Kelvin Peninsula Association maintains the actual corner. We feel that the rest of this land being planted out in a similar fashion would be an asset to the area. The corner planting, native planting, gives some presence to the gateway to Kelvin Heights. Neil Simpson drew up the landscape plan for our property in the year 2000. We are proud of how the plantings have eventuated and received many favourable comments on them. We wish to see something similar take place across the road. If the panel is of the mind that the land is suitable for subdivision, we would accept a proposal put forward by Lynns. We do not accept it as an inefficient use of land, as stated in the landscape report. 19 allotments is still substantial.
Now, your house is the one that sits by itself.
Yes.
Yes, I think we drove up your drive when we were doing our site visit.
We saw you. We went out, we went to say, hey, come up and have a look. Yeah.
And when you talk about the eastern side, is that the site that I think Kerbitchy Architects have submitted? Is that the other site that was allowed?
That's on the western side, yeah.
Between us and the Remarkables.
Yes, yes.
That package.
Yeah, the eastern side we're talking about is, as we'll see, between us and the Remarkables.
Yes. The ground up above there is very unstable, according to the university.
Yeah.
Okay. So their land is the other side of you, is it?
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. That helps me understand.
You're welcome to come back
and have another one. Yes,
we may do. Yes, okay. And we're happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions?
No, there is geological evidence, which is probably on the file now. Yes, and on the property across the road. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you for hearing us. Understand.
And we're conscious that we've got a small time slot.
Right.
So is there any in particular that you'd like us to discuss first? Or we could...
No.
We could discuss actually the W&M grant, which is on Hampton Road, on the corner of State Highway and Hampton Road.
Yes, we're calling this one... We've decided Franklin Flats North is the
appropriate name. We should rename
it. Because everyone's giving it a different name.
Okay. Well, we could call it Franklin Flats North.
Would you like us to read my summary of evidence, or are you happy to read the summary? And that, which number is that?
This is 455.
455. Right.
Okay. The submission concerns the land on Hanson Road and Franklin Ladies Mile Highway sector legally described as written, and has been in the Grant family for five generations. The Grant family, and this is Troy Bruce Grant, the son of the Grant family still own pockets of land on either side of Franklin Ladies Mile Highway, including the Grant's residence on the southern side of that road and the subject site in the southeastern slopes of Queenstown Hill. The subject site is a 2.246 hectare triangular piece of land with three boundaries, including two road boundaries. The subject site contains an existing residential dwelling and a number of existing farm buildings, some of which are used for storage and some of which contain existing retail and commercial activities. Mrs. Grant, Bruce's grandmother, has resided in the existing dwelling on site since 1976. The site contains three existing vehicle crossings onto Hanson Road and onto Franklin Ladies Mile, State Highway 6, one to the existing dwelling on site and one to the existing farm buildings, and the one located at South East corner of the site onto Franklin Ladies Mile, State Highway 6. In summary of the original submission, within the original submission, the submitter sought to rezone the subject site to medium density residential with a residential accommodation overlay or to commercial to allow for the land to be utilised more efficiently than what it is can currently under the rural zone. Recent changes to the surrounding environment and the proposed change to rezone the land to the medium subject site is our submission that leaving a small area of rural zone land is inconsistent with other surrounding areas and should be in land uses. The section 42A report states that the site could not be serviced appropriately, and it has subsequently been accepted that servicing, and have rebuttal evidence that servicing of the site can be achieved subject to further design. Ms. Banks in the 42A report identified two key issues with medium density and residential visitor accommodation overlay, which could lead to pedestrian linkages and the reconfiguration of Hanson Road intersection. In my commission, it stated that pedestrian linkages could be considered at the time of development and could be included in the design of future land uses and or at the time the adjacent road is upgraded. With respect to the reconfiguration of Hanson Road State Highway 6 intersection, the submitter is willing to work with NZTA to provide a solution to this access constraint. NZTA indicated that they would be also willing to work with the landowner and further confirm that they would support residential development on this land. Ms. Banks in the 42A report states that urban development is not the most appropriate approach for the site. However, we're concerned that she does not offer any solution as to what the land would be best for other than to be used as rural. Further development within the airport out of control boundary would limit future opportunities based on Rule 21.4.29, which states that activities within the out of control boundary, Queensland Airport, on any site located within the out of control boundary, which includes the air noise boundary, as indicated on the district plan maps, that any new activity sensitive to noise, aircraft noise, is prohibited. Concluding, a summary. The submitter seeks to rezone the land, the area of land located between Hanson Road and Frankton Ladies Mile State Highway 6, from rural to a more enabling zone which would allow for future development which is consistent with other land uses.
Do you remember that almost the entire site is covered by the other control boundary description? What uses do you consider would be most appropriately located on the site in a planning sense?
In a planning sense?
Yes.
Well, we have discussed what the best use of that site is, and the owners at this stage have some ideas of what it could be used for. And given the surrounding commercial zones with Franklin Flats and 5 Mile and, you know, all the close, the commercial which is close by, and the proposed zoning to the west, which is the local shopping centre, that a commercial mixed use business zone would be best located there in that zone rather than a residential, given that there are other surrounding commercial areas within close proximity.
So the evidence we've had from NZTA is that they are absolutely opposed to any commercial zoning on the north side of the state highway through there. Have you taken that into account and coming to that conclusion? Have you taken advice from Mr. Bartlett, perhaps?
Yes, that was my conclusion. The difficulty is that a residential activity is a residential activity is a SN.
Yes.
Therefore, if you were to, under the rural zone, if you were to establish residential,
it's prohibited.
It's prohibited. So you can't.
We couldn't.
Can't.
It may not.
But commercial is, you can establish commercial activities. Yet, NZTA are not happy with it being commercial given the transport and access constraints.
So this is one of those instances where two third parties are the inhibiting factor, is that?
To a certain degree. And it may be that and I won't be speaking on behalf of Mr. Butler, but I know that NZTA and the landowners have been discussing certain changes in that area, so it may be further discussions happen, which that may change their mind. I'm not saying that it might change their mind, but that I might leave. Shall I?
Yes, I was going to ask Mr. Butler for the lightness.
I can. Essentially, I'm not presenting a summary of evidence or anything anyway, so
yes,
I was going to be here for questions anyway, so I can just lead straight on with that.
Yes,
I suppose that's the easiest way. I suppose for NZTA's point of view, the network on the side of the state highway is not particularly well set out at this stage. There are plans to improve it. There's plans to put a dual carriageway link, two lane in each direction with central median between the existing Frankton Road roundabout and the 5 mile Grant Road roundabout, which essentially is going to inhibit any sort of right turning and into and out of developments there. Within that, I would expect that it should include pedestrian facilities, because at the moment the only crossing is down by the Grant Road roundabout. There's nothing at the Frankton Road roundabout that helps access to the site.
Well, there's a bit of excitement outside the Derby thing. People can't cross the road there.
True. I can't say exactly that's a help for that. there is some. So I suppose as that network develops in that area, it does open itself up for being able to accommodate higher traffic flow through the side roads, but they would be restricted to left in, left out. And that's the only way it would work, really.
Yes. Is it essential that there be any connection from Hanson Road back of this property to the land further to the east for this property to be sensibly developed?
There will be. It will enable travel in a different direction, but the sort of linking that land to the east through the railroad route, maybe, essentially just allows that, sets up that you can, instead of left out of, say, Hanson Road, you can take the left out of the Hawthorne Drive roundabout, the fourth leg of the Hawthorne Drive roundabout, if that's the link.
Yes, so it's not, but you don't see it as a central.
I don't see it as a central part for this site, no. I do know that it would become a central part for other sites, and I think Mr. Carr will be able to talk you through that one at a later date.
Yeah. Mr. Crawford, do you have any questions?
I'm still catching up on a couple of things. I was trying to remind myself where the ONL was, and it's
in the top corner.
Yes.
You just run through the top corner of it.
There's hardly any ONL on this particular slide.
No.
No, I don't have any questions. That's pretty right on that.
Do you have any questions?
Yes, one for me. Mr. Martin, a lot of people talk quite briefly about pedestrian facilities. I mean, what's practical in a location like that? What sort of things would you be looking at?
I suppose the biggest thing is really a link to local facilities. Yeah. And as the local facilities are essentially 5 mile retail and then the Greater Frankton Flats future retail, the event centre. And then probably the rest of the Frankton Corner shopping centre zone at some stage. A big one is actually that pedestrian and cycle linkage to the cycle trail directly opposite the event centre, which then basically means you've got pedestrian cycle linkage just from Queenstown to Gallon Heights to wherever.
So how do you get pedestrian across this busy four-lane and future four-lane highway?
With difficulty. Essentially, it's unlikely that demand would ever drive a pedestrian crossing as such. So it pretty much brings you down to a signalised crossing, which doesn't particularly work well with roundabouts. Or a sort of split crossing facility where you've got a pedestrian
in the middle of the road.
So. But you're still crossing two lanes at a time, so that's probably the biggest element. At the site, there's a 50k right in front of the site, and it's 70k just about the apparent place.
Past. Yeah, it goes to 80k, just past.
So this is sort of just in that transition between 50 and 70k, 70 and 80k, sorry.
Yeah,
as well. So 50k might fine have that sort of pedestrian set up. As it goes higher, you're then really talking about some form of ground separation.
Yeah,
or signals.
So, am I allowed to speak?
Yes.
So, in the initial talks with Transit that we're having, obviously, having land on both sides of that road, they had to talk to us and making this a four lane road through there. In our initial conversation, they said that they would be looking at a separated pass for pedestrian.
Right.
Yeah.
It tends to be, every time I hear about those things, they tend to be really unpopular with users. They don't do anything they can to avoid them. Including taking risks.
I've spent a lot of time overseas removing underpasses. here they seem to be the desirable, which I'm not too sure why. I've smelt the ones I've removed.
On State Highway 73 near Christchurch, we were two underpasses provided for, and just a plan for it with Melton, and neither of them are going to be built.
I prefer overpasses where you can provide some form of bridge or structure because then people are a lot more visible, but obviously you've got to have high enough to allow trucks and all that sort of thing over it.
People feel unsafe in underpasses, but with bridges you've greatly increased the distance because of the ramps.
Yep. You've got ramps and that sort of thing. Six or a half dozen the other at the moment, NZTA in this area prefer the idea of underpasses.
That's how they go to that extent. Okay, thank you. And Ms. Melton, in terms of, you talk about some form of mixed use zoning, only two forms I'm aware of in the PDP are business mixed use or the local shopping centre. They both include a residential component, so you have to be looking at something else or some form of subzone, isn't it? But you couldn't use either of those in the form they are, because they both include residential.
No, we haven't done a feasibility study of what the best zone would be for the site.
The residential component of it is only over the rural general land. If it's rezoned, then residential is fine.
Sorry, I'm just talking about the residential. If it was rezoned medium density residential, which was our initial.
You dealt with that.
Yes.
So you said your preference or your current recommendation is for, so I think your words were some form of mixed use, though. And I'm just.
Commercial.
You said mixed use, and therefore I jumped
straight to
the PDP. And the two mixed use zones that are available in
would be.
Both contain a residential and an answer residential. So it would have to be a modified version of one of those, would it?
But with those zones, the residential activities, it's my understanding that it's not prohibited under those zones, whereas if it's left rural and you were to have to apply for a resource consent for an activity, because in the planner section 42A report, their recommendation is to leave the site as rural, and that they suggest the best alternative is to apply for a land use consent to do an activity.
Yeah.
And our concern is that under the proposed rural zone, that it limits what we can and can't do because of that, because of the prohibited activity under the...
Look, I understand where you're coming from. I'm just...
So that's why I'm sounding vague over whether we should be business mixed use or residential.
Well, I don't see how you can be either. So you're really, call me lazy if you like, but I'm reluctant to invent that zone for you.
No, I don't want you to invent that zone for it. But one of our concerns was that that we would have liked council to not invent a zone for us, but to have given it more consideration rather than just leaving it as rural, and then the landowner then having to sort of go through the land use consent to do anything on that site.
I mean, that's why I use that sometimes, because you could envisage a BMUZ with variant with no residential component or something like that, couldn't you?
You could do.
May I supplement this by asking in another way, if this was a business mixed use zone, anyone seeking consent for residential would run into the Queenstown Corporation.
They would, but it wouldn't be prohibited, I don't think.
So it isn't obligatory to have a mixed use, even in a zone where mixed use is provided for.
No. Ideally, and again, I'm not suggesting that you invent a zone for it, but that there's, if we had that triangular piece of land with a separate zone to other surrounding land uses, we're sort of suggesting that the zone is, there's some continuity along that area where, again, further down the road, it may be that if that's decided on a zone, that it's extended up to the piece of land where it's looking at. I know that sounds very vague, but I don't know if Bruce, you want to add anything from your future use of the site?
Yeah, basically just what Lucy said. I mean, leaving it in rural general as a rural general landform really, really puts our hands in our pockets. We can't do anything with this piece of land. So, as you've already alluded, that it would be a prohibited activity to build houses. So we're just looking to make it a useful. This land needs to be zoned usefully, that it just doesn't get left as a tag. It's basically in the middle of developed Queenstown.
There's a basic question I have to ask is whether, if it remains zoned rural given the OCD provisions and it became operative, would there be any reasonable use of this site?
No.
I think I said in my original submission that you could use it for farm. You know, the only really permitted activities is
for farming. Well, Ms. Milton, you come from a farming background. I know that. How much farming could you do on it?
Well, I actually did some investigating over that piece of land, and I think in my submission I asked a reliable source, being my brother, and worked out a crop of fodder beet and how many cows could actually physically graze there. And it was around, a 40-day, realistically, that, you know, you could do it. It's not a fanciful argument, and that's why I did put it in my submission. But if you can't do anything with the land, there's no alternative except to...
So grazing.
Break fence, yeah. Winter feeding feed crop of cattle.
Mm.
Okay. So find it then. It was about 40 cows, I just wanted to find the exact number. And I know that in the district plan it does talk about the number of pigs you can keep on a piece of land, and so you could actually theoretically do that as a permitted activity.
Just like you see that in the emergency.
Mm. Which, I mean, I don't think anyone wants that as the entrance to Queenstown.
So you have 2 months of, 2 months of grazing a year.
That's right.
Yeah, just meeting the footnote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I pick up the use of the land? Because the local shopping centre zone here, we've just learned, has been the subject of a consent for 10 residential lots. So what is the right, like, if you're thinking in big picture terms, what is the right class or category of activity for this side of Franklin Flats North, if in fact the owners of local shopping centres only outside the OCP, I believe,
they're inside the OCP too, where's the line? It sort of runs under the bank, I think.
Yes, it runs all the way. Okay.
Yeah, it runs around. So what are they up to, and why?
I don't know. I know that in the airport rebuttal evidence, they suggested that that's obviously what we were wanting as local shopping centre. We wanted it to be extended to this land. And we are being vague on it, but it's more that we just want something that's not rural, because it just limits. And if it is the most appropriate thing to extend the local shopping centre to include our land, then at least that gives some ability to develop the land or use the land than what it actually currently can be, or if it is.
Does this scope within your submission to go as far as commercial zoning?
Yep. Yeah. Any better zone. would you consider local shopping centre zone subject to excluding activity sensitive aircraft noise as appropriate?
Yes. Subject land is owned by both the submitted parents, Mr and Mrs Grant, who is in the previous submission, and the submitted Bruce Grant. An existing residential dwelling has been constructed within Lot 7 and is accessed off Marina Drive by a right-of-way. This is the submitted private residence. The subject land was subdivided by subdivision consent RN 980009 and was separated from the main family farm, which takes in the most east side of the slopes of Queensland Hill and further to the east of Franklin, now the Franklin Flats Zone. Lot 6 and 10 at this time are free of any development. This submission seeks to rezone the subject land under the proposed district plan from rural to low density residential and to amend the location of the urban growth boundary to include the subject land and support the exclusion of the subject land from the outstanding natural landscape. The location of the urban growth boundary would limit development opportunities and in future could potentially make future land use consents more difficult if the zone change was not accepted. The submitter accepts the location of the proposed outstanding natural landscape. Within section 42A report, it states that up to 8 additional dwellings could be constructed within the site. However, based on the remaining area of the undeveloped land, it would equate to an additional 4 extra dwellings over the land zoned low density residential. This is taking into consideration the existing dwelling, the location of the right of way, and the consent notice area, which restricts development within the lower part of the site.
access to the developable land, area of land, will be via Lot 24, DP23191, which was purchased to provide future access into Marina Drive. Access onto Frankton Road was never anticipated. The correct subdivision, that's just correcting the section for, to report, was 980009. Ms Banks, in her 42A report, states that there is an active schist debris landslide hazard on the land, which is located to the north and east of the subject site at Lot 4DP459375. Geotechnical reports were provided as part of the previous subdivision consent. Recommendations were placed on the titles by way of consent notice. Ms Banks' greatest concern is with respect to the rezoning of the land, is the development expectations that it would set for the site with respect to natural hazards, and considers that the rural zone would not set any expectations over the density of development which could be achieved on site. As outlined in 3.1 above, based on the total area of land, including land which has already been developed, areas where development is restricted, and the location provided for access, the expectation of development is of 4 additional dwellings. Under the low density residential zone, these restrictions would be carried through, and as such would not set any unrealistic expectations to the current owner or the future owner of these land parcels. In conclusion, the similar steps to rezone lots 7, 6 and 10, DP34507, from rural to low density residential to relocate the urban growth boundary, and with no change to the O&L slip. Further information was provided within my evidence to provide further clarification of how future access can be achieved from these lots, and additional expert geotechnical reports to outline the site's ability to be further developed in the future.
Any questions, Commissioner Crawford? No.
We do have some more information, just with respect to the rebuttal evidence, which we could circulate.
Yes.
I don't know whether you've got questions or should I pass it to you?
Well, I don't have any questions.
Yeah.
So if you just leave it up.
Okay. This is an additional report we've had done, a comment from GeoSol, just with regard to the geotechnical issues that were identified, and just with respect to the reports which were dated in 1999.
Yes.
And also there was a mention about a rock protection fence not being established, and
the grant has
just taken photos of the fence which was established, and also just wanted that it was part of a 3C requirement, so it had to be done.
Right.
So it was missed by the sale that the fence had been actually done. And then there are a few other and just also want to identify also that the hazard, there's a very small section of the hazard actually in the lot, and it actually doesn't cover the site.
Right.
So I think a lot of the reports and rebuttal evidence was with respect to the location of that hazard and the fact that there wasn't enough information about the stability of the site.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions on that additional material?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we allowed to
keep it? It's not really.
Not really. Okay.
No, I think we'll okay. Just go ahead, thank you.
Okay. Keep going on the line.
Any questions on that? Just material, thank you.
That's Thank you.
Now, is it Mr. Farrell or Mr. Edmonds or both of you?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I've got a time constraint and I don't think it's worth me starting in my topic.
And so will Mr. Edmonds cover for you? Or?
No. I'm wondering if we can be allowed another time.
You've got some, dates.
It won't take me long, but I have a sick child and a 5-year-old waiting at school.
No, I don't have nothing else to do with those approved. We've got gaps in the afternoons, certainly in the week starting the 24th of August. If you can liaise with Ms. Pendergast, that's no problem.
Thank you.
It's fine.
Thanks.
So we're doing Inspector Submission 698, is that correct? Is it Spence Farms?
Spence Farms, that's right. Yes, it's my name. So I've got some.
You don't stick quite a while. You've been a chance to sort the door for help. We have just been discussing this slide. We'll say we as Mr. Edmonds.
Thank you. So, sir, the submittal is Spence Farms Limited. Spence Farms Limited. They were in the process of selling the land not long after the district plan was notified.
Right.
And that transaction has taken very long time to complete. And the new owner, I'll put there on the top left, is a company called Staff Accommodation at Franklin Road, which might be quite big.
So they're the successor. Has that transaction gone through?
That's now gone through, but I have not been able to get any instruction.
But they will technically be the successor anyway in Section 2A, won't they?
Yes, they are. But leading up to this hearing, I haven't been able to get instruction from them.
Right.
So that's why you don't have any planning, landscape, or traffic evidence before you.
Notwithstanding your expectation that there would be.
So, the submission prepared on behalf of Spence Farms Limited sought several things. One was an adjustment to the O&L boundary. So what I've prepared for you here is just a brief snapshot of the site on the first page, which includes both of those blocks that are outlined in colour.
Yes.
There's a short section of unformed road which runs between up the right hand side of the page.
Yes.
And just for the Commission's reference, the building you can see on the top of that photograph is the City Impact Church, and they operate a very large church and daycare facility in that building. And the land in between the building and the yellow outline is all used for their staff and congregation car parking. The paper road previously has been extremely close to being actually closed and relocated, but the 11th hour didn't quite work, but the intention was that paper road would stay generally in that alignment will actually become the boundary between the yellow piece of land and the infrastructure. If that makes sense.
Between the yellow piece of land
and the infrastructure change.
Right. Yep.
And then that residual land will then be transferred to the ownership of what was Spence Farms.
Yes, so they end up with a more
logical equipment. They're one single yes. site. The other thing to note, and there's several other things to note, there is a water race that's the irrigation race that runs across the northern side of the site, and you can see that informal line that cuts through with vegetation on the mountain, the hill slope above. The Harrow irrigation race, which I hope is obvious to you all.
Yes.
It's simply that squiggly line that comes in from the top of the top right hand corner of the site and runs out into the business mixed use site to the left. And that is where the slope of the land changes quite dramatically from almost dead flat to quite steep. Other things to note on this image, this Frankton Cemetery, which this site borders on two sides. Obviously the State Highway, which undergoes some three major transformations, and the council's playing fields and sports facilities below. And then at the apex of Frankton Road and Hanson Road, you have the Grant family who were just here before.
Yes.
So, and then overlaying all this, of course, is the noise boundary, which
already out of control.
Out of control, thank you. So over the page, I've just done a quick comparison of the two planning maps for the site. On the left is the ODP, and that just shows fairly simply the site has been mostly low density residential and flat, and rural general slope. And that zone boundary is supposed to follow the Harrow irrigation race because right. there's a step change, quite obviously there. So that resulted in there being about 2 hectares of low density land and 1.5 hectares of rural general. And under the PDP, you can see there's two things happening. One is there's quite a few more layers, but there's also some adjustments to the boundaries of the zoned areas. So taking you through it carefully, there's the brown dotted line, which is the O&L line, which is turned up. And backtrack one step. The operant district plan does show landscape lines, but when you get to this particular site, this part of the district, it's almost indecipherable where the landscape line is. I think in this particular location, there is none.
Particularly for the end, was it?
Yes. About the width of the site. Mm. So, stepping back forward to the proposed district plan, that brown dotted line follows, I'm not quite sure what actually, but you can see that
it looks like it follows the water race in part.
Well, it does in part, but then it charges across the flat paddock.
Jumps down to capture the cemetery and some wildland, some exotic trees.
Yes, well, that's the interesting thing. The land that where it pops up, if you like, that's the same steepness as the rest of the rural side of Spence Farms. So for some reason it follows a pedestal boundary at that point and then it jumps out and across part of this site. And then the other line you've got there you can tell is the urban growth boundary, which is pretty much right, but it's not quite right.
Yeah.
It's right to the left hand side behind the cemetery and then it unfortunately doesn't follow the water race like it should. And the other interesting thing to note, which we've picked up recently, is that the residual land on the other side of Hanson Road has stayed at low density residential and hasn't come into the new.
Yes, the little triangle
corner shopping zone.
Yes.
It's the local shopping zone.
Right.
So there's just a few things that have. No, I guess these are probably full 16 metres more than anything else. But
is the green line the OC there? The out of control.
Correct.
So that should be the same on the operative plan after change 35.
It should, yes.
Yeah.
and that's it. I think it's map 33A or something like that, which I haven't.
I don't think map 33A and operative has been updated. It's changed.
I think it has been updated, yes. What I've just described to you, actually, I've shown on the following page, page 3.
Okay.
Which just picks up some of these idiosyncrasies. And then on page 4, I've just tried to provide for you a fairly simplistic view of what I think the zoning and the boundaries should look like. And so that's effectively given the entire site the local shopping centre zone and running both the O&L and urban growth boundaries along the northern boundary of that site would be the waterways boundary. The boundary, the line I haven't shown on there is the OCB, which would cover most of the land, but would cut across the northeastern corner. It's obviously, that can't change anyway. So that's the extent of what staff accommodation Franklin Roadwood are seeking as a result of this hearing. They don't have any evidence for you on noise, air noise, or on landscape, or traffic, or even planning, because I'm not providing any evidence.
Just providing information.
Yes.
What are we to make of the consent granted for residential use of the property?
Ones that are mentioned in the 42A report.
The ones that we've seen copies
you
of.
You can make of that two things. One is the new owners have sought to identify what their rights are under the operative district plan in terms of subdivision in the low density zone. And so they have proposed a, I think it's a 20 lot subdivision, which is a compliant subdivision. And that's, you might say, a backup plan, simply there to realise some value. The second subdivision, which is probably the first subdivision, is the 10 lot subdivision, and that subdivision again is actually a preparatory subdivision for a future land use application that the owners of the contemplating lodging the council.
Right. So what they're saying is that they have proposals in the consent pipeline that whatever recommendation we may make to council might be irrelevant.
Not entirely irrelevant, but they have recognised the need, or they want to get on with something. So they will probably beat you to it, right? Because they were simply, and their intention has been to lodge a consent for some time, but they've had to sort out their ownership structures. It is quite likely that their application will be fundamentally residential,
right.
And they will need to achieve noise insulation standards in accordance with the law and the plan, the zone standard.
Is that the name of the company I'm getting a clue?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. The obvious question that follows from that, only ask what you're able to, is and what attitude is the airport company taking to all this?
We have not talked to them yet.
Right.
We have had extensive dialogue with NZTA for about over a year, and they, the two parties, are. I think I can safely say at a point of agreement as to how this site will access the state level. Part of that was that the landowner had to wait while NZTA sort out what they thought they might have to do with Franklin Roundabout. And that resulted in, I think we saw option J. So I think that's how they lay. There has been a lot of delay while NZTA, but it was always recognised that it would be crazy to move without NZTA support. So.
You were here when Mr. Bartlett was telling us what his discussions had been.
I couldn't quite hear it, unfortunately.
I was just wondering if yours had a similar outcome, the suggestion that there'd be a medium divided four-lane highway between Franklin Roundabout and Grant's Road Roundabout with left in, left out of Hanson Road.
It's certainly left in, left out.
Yeah.
And I've certainly heard four-lane many, many times. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much consistent message from NZTA now, four-lane between the two. The trick has always been the event centre.
Yes.
And you'll probably recognise that a right turn out of the event centre is could be quite a while.
Yes.
even on a slow day. So that's been probably the pinch point, is that how you deal with the NZTA, with the council's event centre. The left in, left out arrangement for this particular site works quite well, subject to shoulder widening and other upgrades that are necessary.
Okay.
There had been, we've been involved in discussions where the idea was at one point, one of many, was to close Hanson Road entirely and to access this site from the fourth leg of the Glenda Drive roundabout. Closer to a kilometre down the road. And I think you'll see that in the Hanson family submission. Mr. Goldsmith is probably. Have you seen them yet?
We'll get to it, yes, I have. But we've seen.
Oh, they haven't presented yet?
No, they haven't presented yet, but we've seen the evidence and we've also seen the material of the council.
We've got lots of different messages about what's happening on this side of the road, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yes. The only other thing I'd add would be that assisting Mr. Milton, the ASANC, the rule in the plan is that it prevents residential visitor activity, visitor accommodation, community and daycare from occurring. But it doesn't exclude, police, fire, court, probation, local government and government activities, and other activities that may also fall within that, in that location, that general location. In my mind,
council could move its consenting office from council could move its consenting team from Shopover Street, do you think?
No, I don't actually. I think that's the same town. Wilfred,
so you can walk to it.
If they go, I've always said, if they go, everyone goes. And I don't think that will make for a viable, healthy, vital town centre. But the other activities I thought that you might see in that strip along here, given the OCB constraints, would be things like fuel, I think we all know that BP is, I've been told many times by NZTA, they would love for BP to move out of where it's currently located. Workshops, storage units, kind of those small commercial units that may be more popular down Glenda Drive area, and maybe multi-level parking facilities, transport hub, those types of activities that benefit from a location close to a major network and can be accessed off something like the new fourth leg of the roundabout at Glenda Drive. So those, and that's where you might start to see some commercial units sitting atop car park or something like that. It's kind of what I've imagined down there.
Okay.
And also utility providers, obviously we've got Aurora there now. Similar types of utility providers might also be quite well located, it's central, it's accessible, and it's easy for them to articulate.
Any questions, Commissioner Crawford? Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you,
Beth. And so I will be doing 10 a.m. on Monday the 14th.